Good morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 9. This morning we'll continue to go through the early history of the church. Again, as this book is written by Luke, we read the book of Luke and also the book of Acts, we can see how the message of the good news of Jesus Christ spread throughout the world. This morning I want us to consider, for those here sitting here, when you first became a Christian, was there a big change in your life? Did you start to look at the world differently? I hope you can say amen to that. You did. Because I remember when I first became a Christian, it was a shock. Because I realized that my life before me had been living it wrong before God. And now I wanted to know how to live right before God. Everything changed in a twinkling of an eye. And that's the same thing we're going to see here for Saul. This man had a reputation among the Jews. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters for him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were there of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Was this man after Christians? Yes, he was. And we'll note here, it calls any who were of the way. And that's a whole lesson in itself. How many ways are there to Christ, to God? One way, the way. Verse 3. Now he's got the letters, he's on his way, and he wants to hurt and harm those who follow Christ. In verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" A miraculous event is taking place here. He is going to speak directly with the Lord, who's been resurrected. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goats." He's speaking directly to Jesus. So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the city, that you will be told what you must do." Are there things as Christians that we must do? Yes, there are. And again, we talk about the way, the church, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. Jesus is King. So each of us must make sure that we are following the instructions of our Lord. Go down now to verse 17. Because now Ananias is going to be sent to Paul. He's waiting there. He's been praying and fasting for 3 days. He's still blind. Ananias goes there, and he lays his hands on him. Verse 17, Ananias went his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He received his sight at once, and he arose and was what? Was baptized. He was given instruction on what to do, and he did it. And he asked Jesus, "What must I do?" "Go, and it will be told you what you must do." These are all so important to us. Now, he did exactly what he was instructed to do. And again, those of us here this morning who obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we did exactly the same thing. We desired to know the truth and to be obedient to the truth. And when we heard it, maybe not the first time, but when we heard the message, we believed it, then we obeyed it. And that's what we're called to do. And when we surrender ourselves to God, there's going to be a change in us. Because we're going to want to spend time with our Lord in prayer, in thanksgiving, glorifying Him. We want to know about the Lord. our Father in heaven. And we want to spend time with him. And this is exactly what happened here with Saul of Tarsus. Less than a week after he was baptized, he was doing things for the Lord. Now think about this. He had letters from the priests. He was going to Damascus. He was hunting down Christians. The Lord appears to him. He obeys the Lord, and then there's a major transformation in his life. He's now one of those who he was trying to hunt down and hurt. And a short time later, he appeared to those who he was trying to hurt, and he began to preach the same Jesus who he used to hate. Now, I want you to picture this for just a moment. Here is Saul of Tarsus, one persecuting Christians, and all of a sudden he starts preaching Christ. How would you react to that? This guy took my cousin and put him in prison. This guy was standing there when my cousin was beaten to death. And now this guy is preaching Christ. Do you think it might be hard to believe at first? Do you think it might be hard to believe? Some did find it hard to believe. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Because here Paul talks about the great change that came in his life. And again, there might be some sitting here this morning who've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants you to change in the same way. You cannot be his child. You cannot be truly faithful to him until you have done exactly what God has commanded you to do. So please, if you're sitting here this morning, consider that. Saul here, if anybody hated Jesus, it was Saul of Tarsus. But yet, he came to understand that Jesus was who he claimed to be. The Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. And then he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Please look up here for a moment. If I take these things off, you think I can read the print in front of me? No, I can't. All right? And I hate that. Because now every time I need to read something, I got to find one of these. I got to put it on to read. So I can see what? Clearly. See clearly. Can we see clearly without reading God's word what the truth is? No, we can't. If you want to see clearly, you need to read his word and know his word. It's not like we were living during the time of the apostles. God gave them what kind of revelation? Direct revelation. We don't have that today other than through what? His word. Read his word. Know his word. Memorize his word so you can share it with other people. And like Paul says here, we are a new creature, a new creation. We see through a different lens now. You see things differently. And that's the way it should be. And we talked about Saul's conversion. And what we want to look at now is what happened after that conversion. Again, he was confronted by Jesus as a blinding light on the way to Damascus, as we saw. And he was without sight for 3 days. Ananias was sent to him by God. He restored his sight, and he was told what he needed to do to be right with God. Let's go now to Acts chapter 9, verse 18. Again, God sent Ananias to Saul of Tarsus. Ananias, did he want to go? No. He says, I heard about this man, what he's done. And God told him he's going to be someone who's going to work for me now. In essence, what he tells him. Now, in Acts chapter 9, verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He received his sight at once. He arose and he was baptized. This is a miracle. A miracle's taking place here. He receives his sight. He gets up. He's baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So now he's there, and he's with disciples, those who are followers of Christ in Damascus, the very same ones he had intended to hurt. Now look at verse 20, and I want you to see the big transformation in him. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, is that a big change in Saul? Now, let me ask you this question. When you became a Christian, did you immediately, the very next time you met, preach Christ to other people? Did you do that? I don't see any yeses here. This is Saul of Tarsus. Jesus has spoke to him. He's received his sight. He's baptized. He's with the disciples. And then what's he do? Immediately, he preaches. Now this, to me, is truly an incredible thing. And it shows the transformation that happens in people's life. And that's exactly what he did. Verse 21, this is how people reacted. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? These early Christians had a hard time again believing that this was true, that someone who was such a vicious persecutor could change his life. But again, it wouldn't be long before they would see that indeed he was a new creature. Now again, as we read the book of Acts and we look at the things that Luke has recorded for us, we can see the dramatic transformation in the life of Saul of Tarsus. And I want you to think for just a moment here. Look at yourselves today as followers of Christ. Has there been a dramatic transformation in your life? Have you changed your life because of Jesus? Now, millions of people have done that. They've obeyed the gospel and they have dramatically changed their lives. And I want to say personally about our congregation that meets here. I love each and every one of you. I'm amazed at how wonderful most of you are in being obedient to the Lord and sharing the good news, helping other people. Just your presence encourages me greatly. In the bulletin, there's an article by a gator in there. Richard Bartholomew. Now, I won't say nothing about gator stuff, but I mean, this is an example of how each of us here, we grow in Christ, isn't it? And each of us here has different abilities that we can use to bring the good news to other people. And that's exactly what he wants us to do. Now, Saul of Tarsus, he was equipped to do it, as we're going to see here shortly. He made a great change in his life, and God wants your life to change too when you obey the gospel. Baptism, is it important in obeying Christ? Yes, it is. But baptism is only what? It's the beginning. It's the start. It marks the time when you make the decision that you're going to follow the Lord. And then we need to see a change in you as a person. And not only do we need to see a change in you, but who else needs to see a change in you? Those around you who you've known. your acquaintances, your friends, those you've been with, they should start to see a difference in you. Why? Because you have been transformed. You are a new creation in God. And you need to let people see that. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 22. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. Again, they were amazed when they saw him. And it says, but Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is this Christ. He increased in strength, it says here. Now, I believe from this passage, it's talking about his spiritual strength. Paul was an expert among his fellow cohorts there in the Hebrew scriptures. A Hebrew of Hebrews, he calls himself. And here we find he's growing in spiritual strength. And that should be a way to describe each and every one of us, shouldn't it? Look again at verse 22. Saul increased all the more in strength. We too, as Christians, need to grow in strength. If you're not growing in strength, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you standing by idly? Are you becoming stronger? If you're not becoming stronger, what's the minimum is you might maintain the strength you have. But typically, if you're not doing things to grow stronger, what's happening to you? You're getting weaker. And I think some of us can speak from experience. We know that if we want to know God's word, then we need to spend time in it. Now, it says here, again, in verse 22, he confounded the Jews there. And what he was doing, he was able to use his knowledge of the scriptures to point to who? To point to Jesus. He was able to do that because he knew and was familiar with the Old Testament. Again, he was a rabbi, a teacher among the Jews. And what is different now is why earlier he was attacking those who were Christians. He was attacking them because he did not understand who Jesus was or believe who Jesus was. But now, after having encountered Jesus, and we'll see some other things that happened to him here too, he now knows who Jesus is, and he can point to the scriptures to prove that this is who he is. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And verse 27. And I want to emphasize here, as Christians, we need to be able to do the same thing. We need to be able to demonstrate and to show those we come in contact with who Jesus is. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27. 24, verse 27. Jesus, he was speaking to two men on the road to Emmaus. After the resurrection. He's been resurrected. He's now talking to two men. In verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What was he doing, Jesus, to these men? He was going to the scriptures. And this time, what were the scriptures? Was it the New Testament we have today? No. It's the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the prophets, the Psalms, all those things. Jesus was pointing to them and showing to them those things concerning himself. Let's turn to John chapter 5, verse 39. As Jesus spoke and taught, there were people who rejected him, rejected Jesus. In John chapter 5, in verse 39, Jesus speaking to some of those who were critical of him and attacking him. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of who? Of me. He's telling them, these scriptures testify of me. Jesus is in the scriptures from the beginning to where? To the end. They bear witness of him. And those who reject Jesus will reject the scriptures because they speak of him. Let's go back now to Acts chapter 9, verse 23. Acts chapter 9, verse 23. And we need to note something here. Luke doesn't go into detail. We're going to look at it here in a different way. But note what he says. He says, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. So here Luke mentions a period of many days have passed. Let's turn now to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 verse 11. So we can put this in context. Remember, Jesus had his encounter. Paul had his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. But Paul tells us he had more encounters with him. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to men. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at that verse again, verse 12. He said, look, what I preach is not according to men. I didn't receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he says, for you have heard of my former conduct in Jerusalem, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He was a zealous Jew. And he worked hard. He was raising up in rank, and he was recognized for it. Verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And that's what God wants him to do, preach Jesus to the Gentiles. And Paul's talking about it here. Now look, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to Peter and remained with him 15 days. He's talking about a time here where he was not conferring with flesh and blood. Who was he conferring with? The Lord, as we're going to see. So after his conversion and his initial preaching, Saul went into Arabia for a time, and then he returned to Damascus. Now the question is, what did he do in Arabia while he was there? What did he do in Arabia? We don't know exactly what he did. It doesn't tell us. Now we can assume that during this time, he received some of the revelation he was talking about. Go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now this would qualify Paul to be what? An apostle. Jesus directly communicated with him. Turn now to Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Judas had betrayed the Lord, and now the apostles are going to pick somebody else to take his place. In Acts chapter 1, verse 21, therefore, these men who have accompanied us all the time the Lord Jesus went out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of us, these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. A witness. So Paul, in his direct communication with the Lord, can now become what? A witness of the things that he has heard. A witness of the things that Jesus has taught him. Now, Paul was not one of the original 12 apostles. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 6. Now, why is this so important? Why is it so important that I'm spending time emphasizing who Paul is, about his direct revelation from the Lord, about him being an apostle of Christ? Why is that so important to emphasize? Any idea? Who wrote more than half of the New Testament, the books of the New Testament? Paul did. So we need to know why Paul was able to give us this revelation from the Lord. How he was chosen to do this. How he was prepared to do it. And think about this. This guy is like he's got 12 doctorates in Hebrew religion. Who is he preaching to? The Gentiles. So he knows Judaism. He knows the Old Testament. And he also has had direct revelation from who? From Jesus. So he can point to the Old Testament and say, this is in the Old Testament pointing to the Messiah. And Jesus has fulfilled every prophecy concerning him. He is now reigning in our lives. He is king. Let's turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. Again, Paul says, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. Paul says, look, he was seen by 500 brethren at one time. He was seen by James and the apostles. And last of all, who was he seen by? By me, as one born out of due time. So again, this appearance of Jesus to Paul could have been, again, in Arabia. We don't know exactly where. But what it is important to understand that Jesus, as he says here, was seen by him also as one born out of due time. Now later, Saul is going to return to Damascus. Now I want us to think for just a moment. He's returning to Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, in the first verses, he received letters from the priest to go to Damascus for what purpose? To hunt down Christians and put them to death. And now he's coming back to Damascus. Think about this for a moment. Different scenario now, isn't it? The first time he was going there, that we have recorded, it was to hunt down and put Christians to death. And now when he goes there, what's he want to do? He wants to preach about Christ and share the good news. Let's look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 23. Acts 9, verse 23. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. He's there, he's preaching Christ, and what do they want to do to him? They want to kill him. That was the same thing that he wanted to do to them, isn't it? To those who were there who were Christians. Now this is a fulfillment of a prophecy. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Again, God sent Ananias to Saul when he's waiting there blind. He's waiting there to be told what he must do. And this is what the Lord said to Ananias, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Is Saul going to have to suffer? Yes, he is. And we're seeing this beginning here now because they're plotting to kill him when he's there. And we're going to learn more about this. We're going to stop here because of time. But again, we're setting the stage here about Saul of Tarsus, one who was a persecutor of early Christians. And he did it later, he says, in all good what? All good conscience he did it. He sincerely believed by hunting down and dragging Christians, putting them in prison, having them beaten, having them put to death, he sincerely believed he was being faithful to God. He was sincere, but he was sincerely what? Sincerely wrong. Can we be sincerely wrong? Yes. So again, we need to spend time in God's word. We need to know the truth so we can share it with others, but also that we can obey it. If there's one sitting here this morning who's not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, again, consider the examples that we've looked at so far in the book of Acts. And consider how you obeyed the gospel. Because there's only how many ways to obey the gospel? Are there three? No. One way to obey the gospel. One. There's one faith, one Lord, one God, one what? Baptism. So again, we as Christians need to share that good news with other people. Peter preached it on Pentecost for the first time. He convinced them that you have crucified who? The Christ. And they asked, what do we do? And what did he tell them? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Another example we looked at, there are many others, the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. God sends Philip to join him. He does. He comes up to him. You understand? How can I understand what I'm reading unless somebody tells me or explains it to me? So he begins where he's at in the Bible. And what's he do? What's he do? He preaches Christ. He preaches Christ. And then the Ethiopian eunuch, hearing Christ being preached, what's he say? See, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? If you believe with all your heart, you may. They stop, they go into the water. Must one obey the gospel of Jesus Christ to be a Christian? Yes, they must. And the examples that we find time and time again is we must hear the word, we must believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be willing to confess him before men. We need to repent of our sins, and then what? Be baptized for remission of our sins. And that's all over. That's all I need to do for the rest of my life, right? But then go home and watch the whatever shows on TV, right? No. That's just the start. And that's what we see here with Saul, isn't it? He's on his way to Damascus to hunt Christians down. And after he obeys in Damascus, what's he start to do? Preach who? Preach Christ. Less than a week later, he's already starting to preach Christ, who he is. Isn't that amazing? That amazes me. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, please make that decision. Don't put that off. That's one of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life, is being obedient to the Lord. And if you're here, a brother or sister in Christ, you need the prayer of this congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.